At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open. And happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
Yo, what's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, and you just tuned in to Truth Ministries Podcast with Bishop Hander, and I'm your boy, Jay Will. Hey, to support the Truth Ministries, you can go to the Kroger Community Rewards and type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. Also, if you want to hit the bishop up, email him at truthministries30@gmail.com. That's truthministries30@gmail.com. Donate to Truth Ministries via the Kroger app under the Kroger Community Rewards.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again just so you won't miss it. And you can look at the bottom of the screen. It's on there too. Type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. All right, this podcast is for informational purposes only, and it should not be used as a legal, health, or tax advice of any kind. We are not responsible or liable. Let me say that again, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homettes. We are not responsible for any crazy stuff that you may do after hearing this podcast. Always hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. All right. I got my friend, my partner, my bishop, my buddy, my pal, Bishop Hamner in the studio with me today. How you doing, Bishop?
I am well, Pastor Jay Will. I am well. Thanks again for sitting with me for another, hopefully, prayerfully beneficial conversation.
Hey, every conversation I have with you is beneficial.
That's a blessing. I appreciate that.
I make no regrets or no lies about that. Every conversation I have with you is always spectacular. You're just a great person. And the subject that we've talked about this the last time, that was part one, but this is part two. There's a war on men. It's not just happening in Israel and Iran right now. We got war on men in America.
That's right.
Man, I tell you, the more and more I live, which I hope I live to be 200, at least 250.
Well, America is 250, so you can follow their lead.
Well, I don't know if I want to follow America's lead. Because if you want to talk about the real war on men, I don't want to say it started in slavery, but slavery certainly didn't help the black man when you talk about a war on men. And it seems like this thing has been trickling and trickling and trickling, and progressively it seemed like it got better, and then it's like going worse because of all the things that are going on right now. They've found every way possible to try to not only discredit, murder, kill, dishonor, demasculate the men, period, but especially black men. I know it may sound a little racist, but the reality of it, it is what it is.
Men now believe it's a war on them.
Well, I agree with them to a degree.
In Cincinnati, the white police officers just filed a discrimination suit against Cincinnati's police captain on details that they believe they have been discriminated against facilitating in the evening. Yeah, these are all white police officers going up against this black captain. So, yeah, they believe it's a war on them now as well.
Yeah, where does it end?
Well, I don't think the war on men, I don't think can end. I think it's going to get progressively worse. But like anything that is uncomfortable, it can be managed. And I think we have to work towards managing. And the slavery that you brought in, we want to frame that appropriately. From this perspective, it's not just black slavery. Right now in China, there are not only human traffickers in China, there are slavery going on right now in China, in the country of China, there are slavery. In Mexico, there's not only human trafficking going on, there is still a slave culture in Mexico. Same thing for Russia. Not only is human trafficking going on in Russia, there is still a slave culture. A slave culture is when someone has to work for you without an agreed amount of rate of pay. Or slavery is someone who is being taken advantage of because of addiction or because of extreme poverty, and they're forced for survival to work for you. That's what enslavement is. And yes, they might be able to go back to their house, but they don't have control over their person. They don't have control over their wages. They don't have control over their time. So that type of slavery is still going on today. And unfortunately, that type of slavery that has encumbered the black male in America, it has rotted his mind to the point where they're not even trying. So this war against black men, we're going to deal with it a little later, but I'm not saying that racism is dead in America.
Right.
But the problem with racism is that we're looking at it through the lens of 2025 instead of the lens of 1700, 1800, and 1900. The slavery that my great-grandfather Sam went through, not only slavery, but racism, I do not encounter that today. And if I keep living my life through that lens, which is what this war is about, they want us to think, the powers that be, that we somehow are still enslaved, or we are somehow less than, or we are inferior, or that we can't learn, or the only way we can make it is if somebody physically guides us by our hand. Somebody has to, we always need a handler. For whatever reason, black men, even if you look at a lot of artists, they need handlers. And they can't achieve on their own. They're only achieving based on what the handler allows them to do, keeping them in very rigid restrictions. You can do this, but you can't do that. You can go here, but you can't go there. That type of slavery that is going on today, and these are billionaires, but they're still enslaved because they can only work within the parameters that are given to them. So the slavery of 1900s, 1800s, 1700s, that doesn't exist. But the slavery that is going on today is the slavery of imprisonment, thinking that you cannot achieve or be successful because of the color of your skin. The bridge is this. The slavery that is occurring in China, none of them are black.
Oh.
Not one.
What?
Not one of them. I ain't never seen.
And for
I've
the
seen a green-eyed African before, because my wife is a green-eyed African, because says she's African. So I've seen a green-eyed African, but I ain't never seen a black-skinned Chinese.
They got one, Hashimoto, but I think he's from Japan. He's an African-American. Well, he's a black Japanese basketball player. So he, you know.
Hashimoto for the Lakers?
Yeah. Yeah, he's from Japan, or I think he's from Japan.
Well, he's too old to be from the war, but he was a deposit from the war, I'm certain.
Oh yeah, well, his dad's black, his mom's Japanese.
Yeah. Well, no, that don't count.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's Tiger Woods and all of them. Yeah, we all mixed up. Cut that out.
Black
and East. I'm talking about purebred Chinese, or I'm saying. They're not black. So since they're not black and they are enslaved, that's why I'm saying slavery itself, racism itself, it has more to do with empowerment and control of the mind than it does the body. So they are controlling your mind. And that war that is on men is to keep them enslaved, never to think that they can achieve or do anything without a handler. You don't need a handler to be successful. And I'm saying in 2025, I don't deal with the racism of the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s. In China today, right now, there's not legalized slavery in America right now. But in China, in Russia that I know, and in Mexico, the provinces are so large that the government isn't stopping the slavery that is occurring in those smaller villages. So I'm saying it is a tacit approval. Huh. That is not going on in America today. But the war that is on men, not just white, but black is what they can't do, or they need a handler to do it. And our interactions with one another has deteriorated to the point where we don't even, black men or white men, the war in general, don't even like talking to women. I've been reading articles and it is blowing my mind. In 2025, a good portion of our male population prefers electronic AI dating over dating a real woman. And I'm like, what the who? What? What?
But you know, you know why though? You can't get a word in with them.
That is correct. You don't ever have to worry about your AI woman over talking you. That is correct. You don't have to worry about it. And you don't have to worry about the AI woman saying, I don't like your friends. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the AI woman saying, please put down the toilet seat. You don't have to worry about the AI woman says, I'm not your mother. I'm not picking up after you. None of that. Or I'm not cooking. Or I'm not going there. Or I need money. That's a dilemma. We're in a major problem. So no, we're not in the slavery of the 1900s, but or not slavery, but we're not in the days of the 1700s, the 1800s, or the early racism of the 1900s. But the war that is on men, not only do black men believe that they can't achieve, white men think that they are being left behind in today's economy and that somehow they're being taken advantage of. Both are pulling to the point where they're not even dealing with women or going to work, but they are trending towards liking AI. So according to several studies, one being the Institute of Family Service says younger generations feel like talking to artificial intelligence is easier than talking to a living, breathing person. Something is wrong when a human male, for whatever reason, does not feel comfortable talking to a female. Now, I'm not putting all this on females. I'm not saying it's their fault. Every female that smiles at you, that smiles at men, they don't want to lay with you or they don't want to be your friend. They're just being cordial and polite. And sometimes that message of a smile is taken the wrong way. So I'm not putting all that on women. I am saying the culture of women that watches television shows and feeds their mind with garbage, and women who like drama, women who have rapid increases in estrogen or hormones, women who feel more comfortable arguing than they do finding a way to agree, that woman is what is trending these men towards liking AI because they don't deal with the hormonal imbalances. They don't deal with the culture of, in the 1900s, men primarily provided for the families. But in 2025 and beyond, a lot of these men do not want the responsibility financially providing for this woman. And they definitely don't want to spend their money for a woman who is argumentative.
Right.
A woman who has more understanding and more knowledge. A woman that does not want to be led, but wants to lead, but doesn't know how to lead and is allowing their emotions to do the majority of the leading. These men are simply tapping out. And they are leaning towards AI because the human brain, oxytocin, can bond to something that is human or it can bond to something that is an inanimate object. And unfortunately, the oxytocin is binding more with inanimate AI objects because what the AI represents, it represents your visions and your dreams coming true of the type of woman that you want. So until we fix this dynamic, it's going to get progressively worse. Men need to earn money. Women need to be independent. Women need to be able, women should be allowed to be themselves. Women should be allowed to express themselves. But there has to come a point where both sexes learn to meet in the middle. One, women can't be overly aggressive. Men can't be overly aggressive. And we gotta find a way to stop putting so much pressure on the man that they no longer want to even speak to a woman, or they only want to lay with her, but they don't want her permanently in their space. And that's what a lot of men are saying. The men are saying, it's not that I don't want you. I don't want you full-time in my space. I can have you in my space for an hour, but other than that, once we finish, you got to pack up and go to your corner. Man, if we don't fix that, the birth rate across the globe is trending in the wrong direction. And pretty soon, China won't have enough population to maintain the country. And America is trending in the same way, because men don't want to get married and they definitely don't want to take care of kids. They don't want to do both. And then the system is such that if this woman goes upside down, the courts are not even siding with the men. They're just taking their money, which is causing these men to drift even further and further away from any human relationship. And they are finding all their bonding needs met with AI. And AI is only going to get better. It is not going to get worse. You right. even share with me that there are AI humanoids.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I saw a documentary not too long ago. I won't call the network that I saw it on, but they got a whole bunch of documentaries on there. And they had these people on there, and these guys had objectphilia. Mm. And the guy was in love with his car.
Wow.
You know, and he was, you know, he finally, you know, broke the news to his father. Like, hey, Dad, got something to tell you. He's just like, what, Junior? I'm in love with Suzanne. It's like, who is Suzanne? My car. And, you know, I'm just, I don't remember the name of the car, but, you know.
Right.
And Dad was like, well, what do you mean you're in love with her? Oh, we're madly in love. It's like, we have sex together. It's like, dude, how you have sex with a car? Like, he gets up under the car, up under the engine, and he's kissing on the engine and, you know, playing with little Jimmy, I guess. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever he's doing, him and the car has a relationship. But in that same documentary, they were showing people that they started creating these realistic dolls. Mm-hmm. And they programmed these dolls, a D-O-L-L-S, to be interactive, to the point, just like you're talking to Bixby or whatever the app is on your phone, you ask it a question and it answer you. They're making these dolls that are doing the same thing. So you can walk in and you say, whatever the doll's name is, you know, Mary Jo. Hey, Mary Jo. Hi there, James. How are you? And they have these interactive conversations, and they even making the body parts with the hairstyles, the lip style, the skin tone, even down to the vaginas. They're putting heaters in them and making them gel-like so they can have sex and interact with these dolls. So men are, you know, don't have to be dependent on a woman to have that interaction, because they're making the AI enhanced dolls that are doing the same thing without the arguing, without the neediness, without the possibility of having kids with a doll.
So that's what we're going to have to repair. And I think women should take this seriously. Now, the other culture, unfortunately, I'm not saying anything negative about anyone's sexual preference or sexual identity. There's no but, there's no and there. I'm not dismissing anyone's sexual orientation. what women are going to do if they continue on the path is that they're the only alternative is going to be themselves. And I've often said women don't get along with women. And I've already there's studies that show that the divorce rate with lesbians are even higher than the divorce rate for heterosexual couples.
Ooh, what?
With that being said, right, isn't that right?
Oh, hold up, Bishop. That ain't, they don't left us and went, and Susie went and married Jane, and now Susie and Jane ain't getting along. That divorce rate is higher?
The divorce rate with lesbians are higher than the divorce rates with heterosexuals. And that just lets you know, if women can't get along with women, you know they can't get along with men. And I don't want to put all of the blame on the woman. The woman should be able to express herself. And a woman should be able to live her best life, their best life, whatever it is. But if they don't get along with each other in a lesbian relationship, but this AI is about to take their place, those women who like men are about to get to the point where they won't have any choice. Either they'll get an AI boyfriend, or they're going to have to lean towards being a lesbian themselves. But even if they lean towards becoming a lesbian, the divorce rate or the separation rate is still significantly higher. Right now in marriages, the best rate of return are homosexual men who tend to stay together longer than both sets of couples. And that's because men often don't get along, but men find common ground and they still keep a bond intact. Unfortunately, women are all or nothing beings. And if they don't like you, they hold such a grudge for so long, and they make their life miserable and your life miserable. So that's the war. How can we somehow create an environment for the woman so that she can not only be herself, but she can be what the scriptures refer to as a helpmeet to help her husband be his best self as well? So she needs to be able to be her best self. And then they need to stop this war on men blaming him because she's not happy. But as I stated, the stats show that even if she was a lesbian, she would not be happy. So there, you can't blame the man if he can't make this woman happy. He might, and women, unfortunately, and I'm not, this is not a women bash. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, it is. We bashing them. No, I'm just.
No, I don't like to bash women.
No, right.
And
right.
I've often said my daughters are superstars. I was telling a friend of mine about my daughters and what they bring to their relationship. And he called my daughters. He said, they're fixers. I said, exactly. That's it. They're you call them a fixer. I call them what the scriptures say. They're helpmeets. They help their partners become better human beings, better spiritual beings. That's their number one goal. Not saying that my daughters don't fall into the snare or some of these other women, but one of the benefits of my daughters is that they don't have to ask their man, can they go on a vacation or a trip? They have their own money so they can take their own trip. They're not asking their man for a $500 purse. They're buying their own $500 purse. But that's the war on men. These women, and they get together in these groups and they somehow make the man feel less than because he did not have a career. Well, right. His career path, unfortunately, it was stunted because he still thinks that he's under the 1700 requirements for a black man, the 1800 requirements for a black man, the 1900 requirements for a black man. No black man is 2025. If you're not successful, it's not because you're living in the 1700, 1800, 1900. It's because you don't want to do what it takes. And that's unfortunate. But until we cause an awakening in the black man to let him know that racism and prejudice, I'm telling you, in China, they hate each other. In Ireland, you both can be born in Ireland, be considered Irish. If you are a Protestant Irish, and you are a Catholic Irish, you hate each other. And y'all in the same stinking family with the same blood. Y'all got to be cousins because y'all living on an island. Ain't nobody else going there but y'all. But they hate each other, and they're the same color. So I'm just, this racism and this prejudice, that's a part of the war on the black men that made him less than in the eyes of his woman because he didn't try hard. And then he got himself caught up in child support. They took his license. His license now prevents him from getting a better job. He no longer qualifies for financial aid. He cannot get into a career or a career path that will allow him to earn the money to be the man. So he's always less than. So then he takes the route of being a street pharmacist, and then he gets caught because he's terrible at everything he do. And every criminal that gets caught is terrible. And now this woman is making him try to be something that he's not, and it's not his fault. He believed the lie that started back with the war on the black men telling him what you can't be. That's just not true in 2025. If you got good credit, you can get whatever you want with good credit. They don't care what color you are. They care what your credit score is. And if you have the right credit score and you have the right debt to income ratio, they will give you more than what you can afford because they want their hooks long term into your ability to make sure you make your payments on time. And if you make your payments on time every year, the reward for a credit card company for everybody that makes their payments on time and say, you know what? You didn't ask for this, but we're going to give you more money. You know what? Next year, you didn't ask for this, but you did so well last year, we're giving you more money. I didn't even ask for it. Every year, they're increasing my limit. But if you're in this war culture thinking that somehow somebody, you're under the same oppressor that your great-grandfathers were under, you're under the oppressor that 1960s, 1950s, you're under that type of oppression, that war has told you you shouldn't even try. Like, literacy. We have to, the war on men starts here. Stop thinking it's the school's job to teach your children when it's your child.
Facts.
You need to teach your own child the value of a check. You need to teach your own child the value of a dollar.
Facts.
And how far a dollar can go. You need to teach your own child how $1 turns into two if you don't touch it. Two turns into four if you don't touch it. And then teach them with compound interest. If you start and you save your money, every 10 years, your money doubles. Every 10 years, it's now quadrupling. We have to get out of this war. I'm in the 1700s. I'm in the 1600s. I'm in the 1800s. Start teaching our own children a value of earning and these dollars, and we'll get it. So schools systematically enforce gender behavior norms. Boys on the average receive harsher exclusionary discipline than girls for the same behavior. That's a problem. That's a war. You can't make these children less than. In schools, they are teaching these boys to be less than. They can't learn to be leaders with the war teaching them that they are less than. Girls outperform boys in schools in reading in kindergarten and increasingly in college enrollment. Why aren't fathers reading with their children? Because they don't want to spend time with the child that they love because the mama running her mouth, she's talking ghetto, and you know she's wearing that cap that you know I don't like.
Not the shower cap.
Oh, she got it on. She got chicken in one hand, a cigarette in another, and a glass of wine on the table. And you say, well, why don't you want to spend time with this family? Because I don't want to spend time with that. Yes, I want to have sex with that because it's hormonal. But I don't want to spend no more time than that hour, and I'm bouncing. So the war, the reason why fathers aren't spending time with these women are because of their behavior. And unfortunately, women's behavior is just not all, not most, but enough. It's foul. And men don't want to spend that time with them. So the reason why girls are outperforming boys is because those young men are, one, treated harsher. Secondly, they don't find what actually ignites the learning in these young boys. Mm-hmm. So their learning cues start significantly later in life. Even their frontal lobes develop later in life versus girls. Girls' frontal lobes develop significantly sooner than little boys. And with that being said, enough attention isn't paid to this boy to ignite his learning, to put something in front of him that he wants to learn. And that's a problem. Today's men represent only 42% of students age 18 to 24 at four schools, and it's down 47%. So the war is starting when their children is leading up. Women are not finding a way to live with this opposite sex in a manner where he wants to stay. It's going to get worse. They said I'm shiny and sweaty. Do I look shiny and sweaty?
No. I mean, well, you're working hard, man. You know what I'm saying? You're working. You're working. Look, I was getting ready to fire up the organ.
No. We definitely want to find a way to help. The war is causing more harm, starting with preschools, with our children. The other thing is earning. Women are out-earning men. And I know why women are out-earning men, because it's about the margins. You can pay a woman less but get the same production as a man. So why would you hire a man? That's another part of the war that's out there. And I'm not saying she's taking his job, but I am saying it's to the advantage of the overall dollar and cents to hire a woman, because you can get the same production with less pay. Well, that's still slavery. It's just more like an indentured servant type of slavery. So with women earning more, men earning less, women are in control. And I'm not saying women don't make great leaders. Women make great leaders. But if they're hormonal and they are vindictive and they hold a lot of grudges, that's just not, men are the same. We got a current leader of America who's all of that. It just tends to lend itself not to be a relationship that today's men want, which is why this war, everything we're covering, men are driven to AI or objectphilia, as you pointed out, because the interaction with these women are not pleasant. If the interaction between a man and a woman is not pleasant for the man, he is not going to want her in his space for a lengthy period of time. And until we find a way to allow these queens to blossom, to be themselves, but understand that a man actually can be more than a protector. He can be a counselor. He can be a guide. He can be a bonus. You know, he can be, a man can become value added to the woman, just like a woman can become value added to the man. Got to work together, but we have to deal with all of these wars that are going on with these men, and these women have to recognize not that they have a place, they have a role, just like a man has a role. But once I marry you, that does not give you the right to explode. We really got to work on that. When you marry these women, they explode. The attitude explode and they weight explode. And I'm not saying a man's explode, but both of them are exploding. And I don't know that I could deal with exploding attitude and exploding weight. And then you got this young, you know, little sexy little, you know, hot hottie out there, and you know, she pushing up on, so it is getting real dicey out there. It is not easy. It's not easy for these men. And it starts with them understanding at a young age, if we get to them young, help them to build a career path, let them know that, yes, there is a war, But like any war, if you learn how to fight it, you can win it.
Right.
Tell them you're in this war. Equip them with the tools that they need so that they can be successful and win the war. Stop allowing them to say that the color of my skin is what's preventing me. No, that's not true. I don't want to hear about racism. I don't want to hear that somebody doesn't like me because I'm black. We need to talk more about Chinese not liking Chinese because they are poor. Mexican, India has a major class culture in India. Mm-hmm. In the country of India, class is everything. My sister, who's moving back to the States, she found out in Tanzania, in Africa, class is everything to them. They all the same color skin. Class is everything. And they are not breaking that class barrier. So if they don't want to deal with you, you are black in Tanzania. They're not dealing with you and you're black, not because of the color of your skin, but because you are not in the right class. And if you are not in Africa, not like in America. So in Africa or in India or in China, if you are not born in the right class of family, there is no upward mobility.
Man.
I know a lot of people don't like him. I'm not just trying to invoke his name, just to invoke his name. But a lot of people don't know. They look at Stephen A. Now, Smith, and they somehow call him a coon, which is a gross mischaracterization of him. What people don't know about Stephen A. is the learning disabilities that he suffered with as a child, the father that he had that was not a nurturing father, and that he did not come from money. His mom from the islands worked hard. He himself worked his way up. Karen Hunter was a major mentor in Stephen A's life, teaching him how to write. Stephen A worked every day, building relationships, and now he's on the top. If Stephen A was in China, he would still be broke. If Stephen A was in India, he would still be broke. And if Stephen A was born in Africa, he would still be broke. There is no path to upward mobility in those countries. If you look at Yao Ming was not born in a great class family, but he had a talent and a skill, came to America, made money. Now anyone from Yao Ming's tree is going to be treated immensely better in China. Black men in America, the war is this. There is upward mobility for you in America. If you work hard, if you study, if you find a career that will generate enough revenue for you to take care of yourself, your wife, and your children, and if you put yourself in some type of religious structure that will help put guidelines on you, perfect you, bring out the best in you, you can make it. But the war is this. You can achieve because of the color of your skin. You can't achieve because you was born in a project. In America, it is one of the only countries. If you go to Brazil and you were born in a project in Brazil, that's where you're going to stay. In America, you can be born in a project and turn into LeBron James.
Yep. You know,
only in America.
I talk to people all the time. And I tend not to try to have conversations with people who are always blaming the white man and cops for everything that's bad poor. happening that's to black poor. Men.
Blame. You know, that's the war.
Yeah, but you know, and I'm tired of hearing it. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm tired of hearing it because it is not the same in 2025 as it was in the 1940s and 50s.
We got to start saying that, Jay Will. We got to start saying that.
I mean, I say it all the time, and eventually I get frustrated because I don't want to waste my time talking to people who are willfully being ignorant. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd rather spend my time talking to people like you who are willfully being intelligent. I don't want to talk to people who, you know, that I got to dumb my conversation down to, or bring down my vernacular capacity, or bring down my intellectual understanding of how life really is, because they refuse to leave 1940 and 1950. This is not the same America. And no. I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, and just so you just, before you, I know you, I see your chest all puffed out. You're saying Jay Will is living in a fictional, you know, place. No, I'm living in reality. And I'm not saying that there's not, racism still does not exist, but it is not the same as it was in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s for a black man in America. Bad stuff happens to black men, but it's not the same. I can go in any restaurant I want to go into and sit down in the front. I can walk through the front door. I can sit on the front of the bus. I can buy a car. I can shop in the same restaurant. And I can get treatment in the same hospital that I work in. It's not the same. And so
I'm in agreement. And what we're trying to point out, because I want to take it a step further. When you're saying there is no racism, I'm trying to explain to black men, they need to take their time and listen to this. There's a war. In a war, if you have the right equipment, you can win.
Right.
So what? There is racism. It's a war. Fight. Learn how to fight. This is the one advantage that black men are having now. Me and you are products of it. And one, we work hard and we show up consecutively day after day. And when we're called upon, we perform.
Right.
Now, I'm not, the adversary did it, but I'm saying the almighty has positioned us. The opioid crisis has taken a lot of people out of the workforce. But now, since I know I'm in a war, that's actually an opportunity for me, because now there's a job opening for me and my skill set.
Yep.
And I'm saying, so what that I got to go to work with somebody who hates me because of the color of my skin? All men in America, this is my mantra when I go to work. I don't go to work to make friends. I go to work to perform. If I make a friend, that is a benefit. I'm here to perform a job. And if you think I can't because of the color of my skin, watch me perform. I don't need a thank you from you, nor am I gratified because you believe I'm doing a good job, because this is a war. You don't feel nothing towards me. I don't feel nothing towards you, because I'm on the battlefield. This is a war. I'm trying to win. And no, I don't want no prisoners. I'm looking to get ahead. Right. That's the problem. We are in a war, but our men do not want to pick up the weapons to learn how to fight in this war and be successful. So what? There is racist people out there, quote, quote, racist. I'm saying they're not. Some people label Donald Trump, and I got a good personal friend of mine who keeps calling Donald Trump a racist. Even though I did not vote for the man, I don't like the man. I know he's not a racist, and I know he doesn't peddle in racism. The statements that he make are just to feed his base. But if he were a purebred racist person like President Xi is, you will never see a black man in President Xi's cabinet.
Right.
Kim Jong-un will never have a black man. Have you look at any picture in time and look at Kim Jong-un, look at his grandfather, look at his grandfather's grandfathers, find any photo of any black person anywhere around them.
It ain't happening.
Ain't gonna happen.
But I mean, Donald Trump's son-in-law is Jewish.
The Koreas. When was the last time an Africa envoy was invited? The last black person that saw Kim Jong-un was Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, well, he don't count.
You know he don't count. But that's the last black person he saw. Because they don't deal with us.
He liked Dennis because he played basketball. And Kim Jong-un likes basketball. But I mean, Bishop, I don't care if somebody don't like me because I'm black. I don't care.
I agree. I don't.
If you don't win your restaurant, that's fine. I'll take my $20, $30 tip that I was going to leave you and give it to somebody else somewhere else.
Correct.
That's so right. I'm not, so a man thinking, so is he.
That's the word.
If I think I'm under the eight ball, if I think I'm being, you know, sought out to be made different because of the color of my skin, that's how I'm going to be. Because so a man thinking, so is he. I am a conqueror. And I'm not just saying this as a cliche. I make things happen. I make moves that are not going to, you know, just be profitable for me, but are going to be profitable and equitable for my family because I'm Jay
Williams. You're value added. I'm
a value added asset and commodity.
That is correct.
Because a lot of people want Jay Will. A lot of people need Jay Will. But I have to think that way. I have to think positive. I have to think like an alpha. And we got too many men who are settling for beta citizenship than alpha citizen, you know, in comparison to alpha citizenship.
That's and the war.
They're not going to prosper because they're living with a slave mentality.
That's correct.
It's not the same.
Correct. No, it's not. So, like, black teachers. We don't have enough black teachers teaching our children. And I'm not saying we need them. I'm saying it's always positive to have someone that looks like them teach them, to sure. let them know what the possibilities are. Anytime you see someone successful and they look like you, not just human, because then you're going to tend to lean towards AI. As long as you got somebody that looks like you and they're successful, sometimes it's easier for people to believe that I too can become that. So male teachers are noticeably absent. And without male teachers, black male teachers, we're going to continue to raise black men who don't understand that the war that is presently going on, if I give you the right tools, you can be successful. And in a war, you're never supposed to like your enemy anyway. So right. if this man is racist and I'm working for him, well, I'm at war with you, even though we're on the same team. I got to learn how to work in that environment. And it's Facts. Okay that I have to work twice as hard to receive less money because I'm going to take my money and put it in the market anyway. I'm not going to buy fancy shoes. I'm not going to buy fancy cars. I'm not going to buy something that depreciates in value. I'm going to buy something that appreciates in value so that what the Almighty will do for me, he'll do what Jacob did against his father-in-law, and he will multiply what I do because I'm doing it in honor. When I work as unto the Lord, not with a singleness in heart, not with eye-pleasing, to please man. The work that I do is for the Lord. So I know I'm on the battlefield. So right. when I go to work, I go to work to perform. If they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. That is not my concern. I am always polite and I'm always professional. And if anytime somebody get out of pocket, I look physically fit for a reason. And every time I go to work, I make sure I look physically fit to let them know at least you see what you about to be up against.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have those issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, I just don't care. If a person doesn't like me, so what? You don't want to work with me? I don't care.
No, I feel the same way.
They're missing out. Because whatever room I step in, I consider myself to be the smartest person in the room.
I like it. I like it.
I consider myself to be the smartest person in the room. Now, I may not know everything about the subject matter that's going on in the room, but because I consider myself to be the smartest person in the room, I'm smart enough to keep my mouth shut and listen twice as much as I talk. And as I'm learning, I'm gleaning the knowledge that they're regurgitating Now I can engage myself in that conversation. And that's part of being mature and being around people who are actually smarter than you. Mm-hmm. So that you can glean knowledge from them, so that you can become the smartest person in the room.
And oh, I agree. No, we learn from others. So there's a saying in educational studies, if you can't see it, you can't be it. So a lot of people need to see it to believe it. And it's important for you to be an active father in your life, in not only in your life, in the life of your wife, in the life of your children, and in the life of your community, both in the church and on the job and in your neighborhoods. Like, don't let weeds grow in your yard that's going to come in my yard. So for me to fix that, I just start taking care of my neighbor's yard. So in life, when you know it's a war, exactly. When you know it's a war, you got to be willing to do what it takes. And studies have shown that when young black men or young white men growing up in trailers, when young men see positive and they are involved in mentors, mentors oftentimes protects against violence. We have to go back to a point where communally we understand there's a war. So mentors is vitally important to get out, engage, talk to people, have conversations, not only be willing to talk, be willing to listen, be willing to learn, be willing to glean, because studies have shown that when children have mentorships, they are less likely to join gangs or engage themselves in risky behavior. Like, I feel sorry, in Cincinnati, we had a young man that lost his life. He was with a group of people. He had a father, had a mother, with a group of kids. They were in the car, still in the car, but they had a gun with them. So one of the things you want to mentor people who are on the street is that if you steal a car, don't take a gun, because that totally changes the charge. The other thing, if you steal a car, don't take a gun, because when the police see it, you're already in a criminal element in their mind. You're already a high danger. It's going to be shoot first, ask questions last. So they have to protect. So people don't realize. People think that police officers are protecting their own lives. They're not protecting their lives. They're protecting the interests of the city that they work for. Right. They are protecting the interests of their children. It's not them that they're protecting. This is literally, a police officer is literally the property of the state, property of the county. They have to protect that property, just like in the military.
Right.
They have to protect the invested interests of their families. So if you steal a car, if you're listening, you steal a car, never take a gun, and tell them if you steal a car and get caught, I don't have a gun, and surrender. But again, all criminals are going to get caught, because none of you are good. And if you get caught, you need a different profession to start with. But a mentor prevents you from getting in that car with a gun, putting yourself in a position where the police officer has to shoot you, and then your father, after looking at the video, definitely is elevated, emotional, and goes out and runs over the first police officer. That war got a hold of that poor child. That war got a hold of that father. And now that whole family is devastated, because they did not understand this father should have been more involved in this young man's life in a family dynamic. But this woman, I'm not saying that she pushed him away, but for whatever reason, they didn't realize in America, you can live in a community that crime is at a very low rate. Right. If you set yourself up for success in a career where you can generate the earnings for the lifestyle that you want. But with the war telling you that you are in a racist society, that the police hate you, you're never going to get a fair opportunity. You're not equipped properly with the weapons to fight. And if you don't fight, you're already surrendered. Anybody that does not have the warfare to fight against this narrative you've already lost. You surrendered. And when you surrender, that's why you're walking outside with that silly shower cap. That's why you're living in a ghetto. That's why you are out of shape. That's why you're not pursuing a craft or a career, because you've already surrendered and you're not fighting. And you actually are just making it harder for people like me who are out in the community engaging, because they'll never see me. They'll just see this ghetto image that the news is going to always portray. That's right. A part of that war. They are keeping a derelict culture of the black image alive and well on the news. If they show on, I don't care what news, 5, 9, or 12, their programmers, their executive editors, if they show a white person committing a crime, within less than 5 minutes, less than a minute, they're going to show a black person committing a crime.
Yeah.
If they leave with a black person committing a crime, they'll leave it. But if they ever leave with a white person committing a crime, I've never seen a news show where they led with a white person committing a crime that they did not immediately show a black person committing. It only had to be the similar crime, just committing a crime. That's a part of that war. And I'm trying to stop the people who are giving them the ammunition,
right,
making my life harder because I'm on a job and they stereotyping. I had somebody in the car today telling me that Donald Trump gonna get all of y'all a butt whooping because y'all think that y'all could talk to us like he's talking to everybody else. You know that trickle down. Some people are emboldened negatively because Donald Trump is in the office. And then there's others who have to interact with them and they're receiving a blowback because these people are bucking and emboldened. But this person in my car today said, no, he go, don't let him cause you to get a butt whooping. But that's the war. That's the war. You got people out there who are feeding a narrative that is not true, making it harder for people who are fighting against the narrative. We are in a war. Nobody's gearing up with battle gear. They're not fighting. They're surrendering. And then they're wondering why you're losing. Anytime you surrender and you wave the white flag, that does mean you lost.
So I want to say this, and then I'm going to pivot somewhere else. Stop stealing cars. Stop breaking in people's houses. Stop stealing people's guns. And we won't have to worry about the cops shooting the kid.
You will not.
Stop stealing cars. Like, why is a kid stealing the car to begin with? But anyway.
No mentors. No mentors. No mentors.
I think some of it is no mentors, but I think some of it is just them wanting to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and not listen to anybody. Because, I mean, there are very few parents that are teaching their kids, oh, look, you got to use this Slim Jim to get the door unlocked, and then you got to put these two wires together. I don't know many fathers or mothers teaching their kids how to steal a car.
That's a little unfair. That's a little unfair. So you're not in that culture.
I grew up on the west side of Chicago. We moved to Mississippi in the mid 80s. So I was around that culture, but the fathers in my neighborhood were not teaching their kids to carjack.
No, but I'm saying you now are not. You had a father, you had a mentor, and you got the military. These individuals who are in my car, who I'm picking up from this very environment, that's exactly what they're teaching these kids.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I had a person in my car who was arguing with her mother because she was working two jobs, cussing her mother out, saying, why do I have to explain to you why my daughter has to go to school? Get my daughter up and get her to school. I can't take care of you, work these two jobs, and allow you to let my daughter sit at home. The grandmother was not encouraging the child to go to school because the child didn't want to go to school. And the mother, who had to work two jobs, is telling them on the phone. The intelligence that I'm receiving from these passengers is blowing my mind.
Wow.
And I can't witness to them about the war that me and you are talking about. But yes, there are parents out there, grandparents, telling their grandchildren they don't have to go to school. I had a young woman in my car once who was a fixer, and she had a boyfriend. Her boyfriend had a father. The father never finished high school. Subsequently, did not tell his child to go to school. So his son never finished high school. But he came across this good woman who was, you know, marginally more educated, encouraged this young man to go back to school so that he can get a better job. He started going back to school, and the father asked his son, "You think you're better than me now? Why are you trying to get your high school diploma just so that you can show that you're better than me? You want to listen to this woman? Where was she? She was breaking this. I said, this is what these people, they don't understand it's a war, but that's what they're dealing with. They literally have people in their families discouraging them for higher education because they did not have education and they don't want them to be better than them. They don't want them to think that they are better than them. It is a whole group of people who are like that. And if I'm not saying me and you can course correct, but if we don't shine a light, and I'm telling you what I know, I'm getting it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
They're talking to me in my back seat, and it is blowing my mind what these people got to deal with. So I agree with you concerning how you were brought up. But these people that I'm talking to, they actually are training them to be less than. And their parents are getting enraged because their children want to do better. It's terrible, man.
It's a far cry.
Go back to your first statement. Don't steal cars.
Don't steal.
Don't break into houses. And don't carry a gun.
And you won't have to worry about getting shot by the cops.
No.
So I want to go here and saying that we've seen, from the time you and I were, you know, little young homies growing up.
Right, right.
And we went through the 80s, you know, the 90s, and now we're in the 2000s. But the men in the 1900s, especially the early 1900s, were characterized by stricter social roles and expectations.
That's right. And
from what I'm hearing you say right now, those stricter roles and expectations from males have almost diminished. You know, today's men in comparison to what the men did in the 1900s compared to now, it's totally different.
That is correct.
You know, even in the way they dress. I'm gonna pull a picture up. I want to show you a picture. I pulled a picture up. Two men dressed in the early 1900s. You see that?
Come on, man. Come on.
Two men dressed in the 1900s. Now
that's how you went outside.
I got a picture of two young black men dressed in the 1900s.
Man, that's dress for success, man.
Dress for success, man. And, you know, I have a picture here from the 70s.
Oh, Lord.
We don't wear from the suits. I don't know what that was.
That was pimping. That was pimping.
Man, but now I pull up a conservative photo from 2025. It's a combination of all of it, man. You got a 70s pimp 1900s thing going on. Like
this metrosexual 2000s is the worst. they looking like it's just it's they're making too many statements, and that's the war, man.
That's the war.
The men have lost their pivot foot. I think every male, and that's another war, they need to address age specific. You know, you dress like the age that you are, and you dress based on what you can afford. You know, the outfits and things that they're doing today, it just lends itself for more and more people to want to deal with AI. It sends the wrong message to young people. I want to encourage all young people, don't grow up wanting to be a basketball star.
Right.
I used to teach in our Sabbath school classes. I used to teach the teenagers when I was growing up in my 20s. And one of the things I broke down to them is that a basketball team normally consists of 12 players and five starters. The person who is a superstar is making the most money, but right. It's 12. And I say, do you want to try to be one of the 12 that made it to the team? Or do you want to be one of the 60 to 100,000 in the arena who can afford the ticket to go?
Man.
Which one do you want to be?
Which
and
one?
I'm saying more realistically, you can afford the ticket to go and live your life in such a way that you can sit on the floor versus the odds of you sitting in that seat that there's only 12 of them. I'm saying it's not realistic.
Right.
And to spend all of your valuable years chasing something that realistically cannot happen, you're setting yourself back. That's another war. Based on that last picture that you showed, that Hollywood dress culture, that's the war. These people want to be a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player. You'll know if you can make it to the major leagues, because if you are 5 years old, and I'm telling you what I know. So in Cincinnati, they got FCC soccer.
Right.
I had the team's therapist in my car. It's amazing what you find out in these cars, who are your passengers. I had the therapist for FCC. He told me when a child is 6 years old and they show talent, they take that child from the parent and they put him in a program. And they work them playing soccer until they are 12. They pay for their food, their lodging, all of that. And they put them in this program. And once you're in one of these programs, that's how you know that you got the potential to make it. If you are not in one of those programs where they're paying for everything, paying for your schooling, paying for your higher education, all they want are signing rights, you're not going to make it. So these parents who have children who think they're going to make it, if they're not in one of these schools where they're taking you at 6, 10, and 12, and they're pulling you out of society, and they're putting you around the same 12-year-olds who are doing the same thing, and there are running drills teaching you how to do that, and that's all the way up to college. Until you get to the pro. That's how you know if you can make it. And right. A lot of people don't even realize that's how they're doing it, which is why this basketball culture is just AAU.
Yeah.
Is so big. They're starting them off young. But they start them off young, and they work them through, just like they did Serena and Venus. If your child has talent, they're going to find that child. You don't ever have to worry about that. But if your child does not have talent, you need to put them on a career path where they can generate earnings so that they can sit in the stands and pay for a ticket and pay for a mortgage. And I try to tell this to my wife, and I tell this to my daughters and, you know, the few that are in the congregation. We, and you too, J. Will, are living better than most professional athletes.
Yeah.
Professional actors, professional musicians, they don't have more money than you.
No.
These people are broke. All they have is name recognition, but they don't have no money. They don't have no money. They can't afford. They're getting loans from their friends for these lifestyles. So it's unrealistic. That's a part of that war. Having people consume that dress instead of wanting to be businessmen, professors taking care of their family, I want to be some rock star, entertainer. That's less likely. More likely that you can work hard, save your money, put yourself in some type of faith-based organization, and be very successful in life. Your odds of being happy are significantly higher than chasing some of this stuff that you're never going to be able to really achieve because there's so few that is able. But there is upward mobility in America for anybody. I don't care what color your skin, your background. Listen, in America, you can be an ex-convict and still be president. Yeah. Only in America.
Only in America. Only in America. I mean, I just think that we, you know, the war that men are facing, I don't want to say it's not winnable. But it's a hard road. It's a hard road to victory with this, because it's a whole lot of men. I'm telling you, man, this documentary that I saw with this AI stuff, women are in serious trouble, but they won't sit down and listen long enough to try to understand and help us fix it.
That's true.
You know,
we are going to need willing participants from the female species.
We're gonna need it. We're gonna need it. I mean, and even with the socioeconomic status that we're in right now, it's not like it used to be.
No.
I mean, we got in-house plumbing.
Yes.
Most of us have cars, and yes, we have technology and resources that can help men overcome this war that the enemy has placed on our heads. There's a bounty on our heads anyway.
That's right.
Because if he could, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
And so he's taking us out slowly and subtly to where we don't even, you know, most of us don't even realize what's actually happening. Demasculate the man. Have the woman be the more prominent and dominant species in the house, and let her be the alpha and the man be the beta. That's never how God intended for it to be.
It is not going to work.
We see right now it ain't working, because our beta men are turning into, I don't know what they got out of the betas, but it's going on farther down the alphabet.
That's all it's doing.
Yeah. I mean, now we got, you know, kids that don't even know what sexuality is, right, saying they don't want to be men.
Right.
They don't want to be man childs. We got a problem. It's a war.
We got to continue to have these conversations prayerfully. Hopefully, we can start trending in a significantly better direction. It's going to take conversations, hard conversations, thoughtful conversations, lengthy conversations. People have to be willing to fight. And if you lost your fight, you're surrendered. If you surrender, then whatever your captors give you, you got to eat. I mean, it's just that simple.
You know, the next couple of weeks, I'm going to try to find a male who is checked out.
That's a good idea.
You know, I want to hear his perspective, because there's got to be a part three to this, because we didn't even get to all the material that we said we was going to talk about.
That is correct.
But I mean, this is, you know, to unpack all of this, what we discussed today was necessary.
Right.
Because it's like doing a doing a poke yoke in the Six Sigma world. You're gonna stay in that room, and you're gonna brainstorm, and you're gonna come up with solutions until you figure it out. And right. the more you try to figure it out, the more stuff you unpack that needs to be figured out.
Right.
And so this is one of those subjects, man, because this war on men, it just ain't started in 2025.
No.
It's been going on for centuries and decades. I mean, even back in biblical times, they were demasculating men because they were making them out of eunuchs.
That's true.
That's true. Like, man, I wouldn't have made a good eunuch.
No. You know, I'm a terrible eunuch even today.
Don't cut my wee-wee off. I'd have been praying to God. If I saw Moses throw that staff down and it turned to a snake, I say, I want to serve your God.
That God.
If you don't
that
make
God
eunuch,
right
there.
Yeah.
You don't turn into a eunuch. I want to see, I'm a eunuch today, but if the Lord can turn that staff into a snake,
yeah,
that's hope for a eunuch, right?
That's true.
Hope for a eunuch. But Bishop, final thoughts, Bishop.
Well, we're going to have to continue to remain engaged because, like as you stated, we're just scratching the surface. There's a lot of material about men and how their responsibility roles have shifted and the burden of the woman and how in society a lot of the working establishment put women against men because they're putting them in leadership roles, paying them more, and then when they get home, it's a totally different dynamic. They're no longer over captains of tens, a hundred, or a thousand, and then they don't know how to interact with this man. So it's going to take time to right the ship when it comes to our children, having people in front of them that can influence them, help them, present in the home. That's going to take time to cause people to wake up from what era they live in. You literally are in 2025 now. You're about to have AI, and you're still talking like you're communicating in a manner as if someone is hitting you on your back with a whip.
Yeah.
We are going to have to change and adapt. Men, women, how we interact with children, we have to identify it is a war. Get the right equipment so that we can win. And anybody that is not fighting has already surrendered.
Yeah, they're talking analog, and we're in a digital society.
That's true. That's true.
You need to come up. So, ladies and gentlemen, support Truth Ministries under the Kroger Community Rewards app. Type in JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. Email the bishop. I dare you to email him. I bet y'all won't email him. Email him, truthministries30@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to your Play Store on your phone and download the Live 365 app. It's a free app. And then type in J. Will Gospel Radio. You can listen to sweet gospel music, great gospel music, 24/7, 7 days a week. And you can always hit me up at leewildtheletterj@gmail.com. Bishop, if somebody needs to come to church, tell them your church address.
30 Kentucky Avenue, Wilmington, Ohio, 45177. Services begin at 1 p.m. Meal is at 2 p.m. Evening service is 3 p.m. Saturdays during the week. We love to see you, love to spend time with you, love to worship with you, love to pray with you, and love to receive of whatever testimony you have of the goodness of the Lord.
Listen, in today's society, more than ever, we need God. And for those of you that don't believe, say that the person that don't believe is right or they're wrong. Then once they die, they're going to lose everything.
Yeah, well, to the person who don't believe, enjoy your time in the lake of fire.
Man, where the worm dies not. Yeah. It's hot. It's hot.
It's hot.
Hotter than lava. So
hotter than lava.
Go see Bishop at his church. Shoot him an email, truthministries30@gmail.com. And don't forget to donate to Truth Ministries via the Kroger app under the Kroger Community Rewards. Type in JX. I'm saying this again because I really want you to do this. JX228 to donate to Truth Ministries. All right. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you. Oh, wait a minute. Go to the doctor. Don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. A1C, blood pressure, cholesterol. Men, get your prostate checked because prostate cancer is killing black men. Like, it's crazy out here. Get yourself checked out and get some life insurance. If you don't know some people, I know some people that can get you a good policy. Don't leave your family strapped in case something happens to you. All right. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace. All right. We're getting out of here.